For the last 2 years, I've had orthodontic braces. And lots of people ask me, so when do you get them off? And I sort of like to reply, of that day and hour, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, nor my orthodontist, but only the Father. It's been a long journey, but I can't tell that story anymore because I'm actually getting them off December 13th after 2 years. So yeah, it feels good. I'm excited. It's about time. I had begun to actually believe that Christ would come before they came off. So we're approaching the end of the church year, as I mentioned earlier. As we just heard, our scriptures turn to the end of all things. Jesus speaks of calamities, and our readings become more apocalyptic. And while it is true that the final period of history will be full of tumult, war, and disaster, the word apocalypse should bring to our minds both the holy fear of the Lord, but also great consolation. Great consolation. The original meaning of the word apocalypse is not destruction, but rather unveiling. It literally means to uncover something, to pull the lid off, to see what's actually there. So the final book of the Bible has often been named, especially in older Bibles, you see this, the Apocalypse of St. John, because we see in strange signs and visions what's actually going on behind the scenes. Most English Bibles now have the Book of Revelation, which means, again, literally, to pull back the vellum, to pull back the veil. And what is God doing behind the veil? What is God doing in our midst? He is preparing to bring about complete justice and joy in a new heaven and a new earth. But we can't see it all yet. The Hebrew Scriptures speak often of the coming day of Yahweh. And on this day, there would be both judgment and salvation. Judgment on all the nations of the world who oppressed God's people and tried to thwart God's plan. And salvation, the deliverance of God's holy people and the setting up of an everlasting kingdom that would include all the nations and, in fact, all created reality. Christians understood that the day of Yahweh was, in fact, the day of the Lord Jesus. Jesus called himself the Son of Man, applying to himself the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7. He said he would return upon the clouds to be the executor of this divine judgment and divine salvation. That's our belief still. Now, we heard that gospel today from the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark was probably written around 69 AD, exactly 1 year before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It was a time when the Jews and Christians both were being persecuted violently by the Romans. Many Christians began wondering why Jesus did not return as he promised. Some even wondered whether he had really been the promised Messiah at all. Mark wrote this gospel in part to strengthen their faith by quoting Jesus' predictions of the coming persecution of the faithful, the destruction of Jerusalem, the coming of the Antichrist, the end of the world, and his own second coming. Mark also offered hope to this persecuted community by reminding people of Jesus' promise that, yes, wars and natural disasters and even betrayal by family members would happen, but will be overcome when he returned to gather his loved ones from the earth. I think in our current day, Christians wonder not so much why hasn't Christ come yet. We've had 2,000 years of patience to teach us that. But I think some wonder more so, is Christ actually Lord? Is he actually a king? Is he actually powerful to do anything in history? Because there are some awful things happening. The bitterness in politics, the war in Syria, the ongoing proxy wars, natural disasters, and scandals in the church. All these are a lot and can, in fact, rattle the faith of believers that Christ is actually Lord and still present in history, still a king, bringing about a kingdom but veiled. Jesus tells us, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And that seems almost comical when you think about it, doesn't it? I mean, what is the weight of a word? A word that I speak that practically vanishes into nothingness once it's spoken. When the air stops vibrating after I close my lips right now. Where's that word gone? But that's precisely our hope. That the weight of a word compared to the permanence of a mountain or a star in a galaxy seems like nothing. But in fact, the word of God is indeed more real and lasting than the entire material cosmos. And when you think about it, when someone speaks a word to you of encouragement or affirmation or hope, or tells you, no matter what happens, I'll always be with you. I'll stand beside you. Sometimes that gives us courage to face climbing a mountain, to look up at the stars and believe there's hope. The word of Christ lasts forever, and it's this word that John and Nicholas and Robert have already heard. They've already been following Christ, and yet today they take a new step in their faith journey to let that word sink ever more deeply into their lives by being received and initiated into the fullness of the Catholic faith. All of us can stand on Jesus' word firmly, even when the world around us seems to disintegrate. Jesus' words about the apocalypse are not about predicting a day on the calendar for doom and gloom, but instead they're meant to keep us from anxious curiosity. Trusting in the word of the Lord in our lives means that we can accept forgiveness from him, that we can build a good life in him, that we can endure any struggle with him, and that when Christ comes as judge one day, or at the moment of our death, we can stand before him.